Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for.
President of football today. President of football.
You wish. That would make me the vice president then.
You wish.
She is the first lady of Atlanta baseball, not football. The queen of improv, Miss Allie Mack. Not a knock, just saying you're a baseball gal.
I gotcha.
Through and through. And soon to be watching his Iggies play at Rocky Mountain Pizza, with or without his loved one, Simone, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews in the house. Our forces combined, we are the greatest sports talk radio show from 6 to 9 a.m. in the city, in the southeast, anywhere, in my opinion. But, you know, this is one man's opinion. Good morning.
Hey, man. Good morning.
What? I mean, it could be other people's opinions, Allie, but it's definitely mine.
Well, I say it's in the world, personally. That's just one woman's opinion. What in the world are you guys going to do this weekend without having Falcons duties to handle?
Well, I'm going to watch football and start doing the things around my house that have been put on the back burner for the last 7 months?
Yeah.
End of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the last thing I did other than clean my garage that was actually productive was fix my golf cart.
Right.
Like that's it. It's like those two things.
You cleaned out the garage, right?
Yeah.
You were really happy about that. Cleaned out the garage.
Well, that felt very... Well, you know why I had to clean out the garage is because I like basically overhauled my golf cart and all the crap and that was still sitting in there.
Still a debris field sitting around the golf cart. I don't know. I really don't. And this is one of those weekends where I'm like, yes, no plans. And then without question, probably at about, let's call it 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
My wife and I will set into panic mode and go, man, we got to really make some plans.
Mm-hmm.
We should invite somebody over. We should take the kids here. Last weekend, we took the kids bowling for the first time ever.
Did they love it?
Yes and no. My daughter did not. My son did. My daughter did, however, like the adjacent arcade at said bowling alley.
Yeah, of course.
So there was that. But yeah, my son loves competing at his age. And my daughter couldn't even be bothered to touch a bowling ball.
Were there bumpers up or rails?
Bumpers, okay. Did
you have the little ramp? Alligator ramp thing?
Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
Alligator ramp.
Was it like Stars and Stripes?
No, it was a place over in Dunwoody. I cannot remember the name of it.
There's
it
a Stars
newish
and,
place.
There's a Stars and Strikes about what 10 minutes from your house, I think, maybe 15. The one in Roswell. The one in Roswell is not far from you, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, if there is one in Roswell,
there's
it's
one
10,
in Roswell.
Minutes,
there's one on Roswell Road.
Interesting.
I thought because there's one near us too, and that the arcade there is massive. That's why I mentioned it. Like that arcade, actually, the bowling alley to me is secondary to the arcade at Stars and Stripes.
This place was like a newish, it used to be a Sprouts over in Dunwoody, and they've like overhauled it, and it's got like mini golf and laser tag and like all kinds of stuff inside, man. So yeah, I mean, it was quite the ordeal, but I'm sure something like that will come about at some point tomorrow morning, and we'll be like, dude, we gotta get out of here.
Out of the house. I wonder if your daughter will eventually love bowling, though. I was on a father-daughter bowling league when I was little.
That's dope.
I got my own ball, and we were like number one in the league because my handicap was so high.
Let's go. I was in a bowling league when I was in elementary school. We were called the Bulldozers.
Nice.
You already know what time
it
is.
My mom was in a bowling league back in the day.
Yeah, that's good times, dude. Good times.
To close out the conversation about plans, Saturday and Sunday I just plan to watch football, the wild card weekend. But tonight, so Simone actually is doing a collaboration with this ticket provider. I believe it's called TickPick. So we are actually going to the Peach Bowl tonight.
What?
Yeah. Bam. Let's go. Attaboy.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Who are you pulling for? Who are you for?
I actually want Indiana to win, I think. Yeah. I think I'm rolling for win Indiana.
I tend to lean that way. Amy asked me. Amy's like, hey, her cousins wanted to get dinner or something. She's like, hey, she wanted to know if I could get dinner this weekend. What night would work best for you? As in for me to watch Melrose.
Of course, yeah.
And I said, Friday night.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Because we got to see my parents tomorrow. We haven't seen them for Christmas yet because we've been sick. Mm. You know, house. So I was like, Friday night. She's like, really? I go, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I go, I can just watch college football. I was like, because we might want to do something with the neighbors for the playoffs because they start, you know, it's like an all-day event. I was like, go ahead, Friday night. I'll put her down. I'll watch the Peach Bowl.
Absolutely.
I'm all in. Go ahead. Get the hell out. I'll go watch Peach Bowl. Well, I'll do some burgers on the Blackstone. Go ahead. Get out.
You enjoy yourself, Amy. You enjoy. Well, that is the top headline we got to get to since we last got to hang out. I do want to give you a heads up that traffic will be heavy tonight because we do have the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Oregon, and Indiana State will face off in the semifinals at 7:30. The Hawks play tonight in Denver, taking on the Nuggets. Pre-game is at 8:30 right here on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 9. Now, Miami has knocked Ole Miss out of the college football playoffs. They won last night in the Fiesta Bowl. 31-27, pretty intense fourth quarter. Miami will head to the national championship game for the first time in 24 years. Did you guys see the end of this game? Because that was insane.
I actually did. I fell asleep once during the game. And it was during the the minute to go in the first half. I missed the field goal. I woke up during the halftime report, and I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm glad, too. I am tired as hell today. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm fighting through it. But, man, that was the type of game, if you're going to wake up, if you're going to be, like, on 3 hours sleep, that you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird game, too, for me, because Miami didn't really get home. But they got pressure early, and they completely threw Trinidad Chambliss off. And if it wasn't for that big run by Lacey, Ole Miss really didn't do anything much in the first half. But the second half, Chambliss just caught a gear he was getting the ball out quick. Everything was so quick out of his hand.
Yeah, I agree. They did a nice job kind of flushing him in and around the pocket, and I just kept thinking that Miami is going to pay a price for not throwing the knockout blow. Like, that's what, you know, they had multiple interceptions in their hands that they, you know, could have really flipped the game on its head, and they just couldn't throw the knockout blow. And I was like, Ole Miss is going to hang around just long enough. And they almost did, just long enough to make this an Ole Miss victory. But what an incredible game, that whole fourth quarter with the back and forth. And, like, I don't know, man. That was a phenomenon. I didn't even want to stay up to watch it because obviously, you know, anybody listening right now understands, get to wake up early, but I could not look away from the television in that fourth quarter.
Midway in the third quarter, my neighbor texted me, and I was like, this feels like it's one play away from Miami finishing it because it was like 17-16 or 17-13 at that point. So it was really early, and they just never did. Also, like, I got to give Carson Beck due because I thought he did a pretty good job on that drive. It was aided by a penalty, which was the right call. But the wear it all to understand that the coverage took everything to one side of the field and he could walk in was pretty good. I'm sorry, though, but the last play of the game is pass interference.
Oh, come on. No.
It's at the hear me out. Hear me out.
He's right. I agree with him.
Hold on. Just hear me out. At the very least, it's defensive holding. Would that have been called defensive holding in the third quarter? Answer honestly.
I think it would have been a coin flip call in the third quarter, yes.
Nah, it's getting called.
He grabbed him before he stepped in the end zone and held him all the way through. It's at the very least defensive holding. I wouldn't have called P.I., but I think if you're going to call that defensive holding at any point in the game, you call it there. Do I think he makes the catch? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But it's defensive holding. He basically obstructed him to getting to the point. And that to me, that's defensive holding.
I think I just fundamentally disagree when you say that if you're going to call it in the third, you call it in the fourth. That's just not – I don't
– If it's a penalty for 59 minutes,
no,
Mike.
I like to see the guys – it's like basketball. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see the guys be able to be a little more physical at the end, let the play – I don't want a flag to decide the game.
It's not a – well, that's why I say – well, first off, in college, they wouldn't have put it on the one-yard line. It only gave them 15 yards.
Sure.
Even defensive holding would only give them 5 yards, and you just got one free play. But you can't just hold a guy all the way down the field because it's the last play of the game.
He was in phase. I mean, he was at least looking for the ball. That's why I did not think it was pass interference.
Yeah, he was not looking for the ball when he first grabbed him. But I just think that I just think a rule is a rule. If you're going to call it, you got to call it. That's why I hate illegal contact in the NFL. Because technically you could call illegal contact almost at any point, almost. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I do want to bring up big news locally. You guys were there. Arthur Blank gave his presser yesterday regarding the future of the Falcons. He did clarify what the role of the president of football would be.
Fundamentally, we wanted to add somebody who's a president of football. And it was kind of clear on the titles, not football operations, it's president of football, because sometimes people could interpret that as being, well, they're responsible for the operations stuff, the backroom stuff, administrative stuff, but this person that we're trying to hire will be responsible for everything that relates to a football and grass. And so both general manager and head coach will report directly to that person, who will report to me.
And the Falcons did confirm that Mike Disner and Brant Tillis completed their interviews for that role yesterday.
Yeah, I think the clarity is what we've talked about in here, right? That Greg Beatles handles the business side of stuff, and whoever the president is handles the football side. I actually thought it was a good press conference. You know, I always hear people on the radio say, "All right, listen to us because they made this trade or they made this signing." And Arthur Blank clearly listened to me and you because we said Arthur should just be up there. And I say that jokingly. I love the way the press conference went down. I thought it was absolutely exactly what you needed. One voice, not multiple, and it didn't last too long. The thing I was worried about was that, you know, people, there's always the guy in the room that's the smartest guy in the room that wants to ask 7 questions, and it's always narrative driven, and it's always, well, I got to have a follow-up. And it didn't get too far out of hand yesterday. I thought it was what you wanted to hear, didn't you, Mike?
Yeah, I thought that it was. If you don't like Arthur and you're like, sell the team, Arthur, you probably got that out of it, right? I'm sure you found something to be irritated with. But as far as just from a standpoint of what he needed to get accomplished, I thought you're right. I think you're spot on. I think it was a good. What, 25 minutes-ish?
And we only scratched the surface on everything that was talked about yesterday. Mike Conte did get to sit down one-on-one with Arthur Blank yesterday, talk to him about his state of mind after the Falcons were eliminated from the playoffs. We're going to play that interview for you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and our very own Mike Conte had a chance to sit down with Arthur Blank yesterday, talk to him one-on-one. First question he asked him was about Arthur's emotions after the Falcons lost to the Seahawks and were eliminated from playoff contention.
My emotions that day were the same as during the season when we had other losses and, you know, frustrations that started with the early part of the season. And not so much about me, it's about our fans and about our organization and our players, and I think we're disappointed. I've certainly felt it from the community, but I felt it internally in every way as well. And I think sometime during that period of time is when we began to, you know, think about the organization, what we got to do going forward, and can we achieve at a higher level? It's an expression that, you know, good is the enemy of great, and that's what we want, is great in all of our businesses and our sports businesses, and certainly the Falcons and soccer.
So, you know, that's, you know, that was my feelings at the time. It was very sympathetic and understanding and walking the same shoes our fans are.
In your book, you talk a lot about when you started Home Depot, customer feedback was really important to you. And you wrote about the Ben Hill calls that would be punched directly through to you. So I'm wondering what what feedback are you hearing from your customers right now, which I would say are the Falcons fans?
Well, I think the fans currently are probably feeling like, you know, they probably feel the same way. They, Raheem and Terry are two really fine individuals. I've known Raheem for 11 years, 6 years before with Dan, and then we went to L.A. and coming back here, and Terry for the last 5 years. I mean, these are really fine folks with good values, and they work their fanny off. I think that... what they feel is that, you know, given the capacity of our players, the roster that we have on offense and defense, both young players and as well as some seasoned vets, that we should be achieving at a higher level. And I agree with them. There's a whole series of factors that go into, you know, in the NFL, why teams win or lose or whatever, you know. But I felt at the end of the day that we needed to achieve at a higher level, and we were capable of achieving at a higher level. And so we took some time and, you know, took an x-ray of the entire football side of our business, A through Z, and came up with a number of changes that we felt were appropriate to be able to compete at a very elite level. And part of that is this, you know, restructuring that we have with a new head coach, a new general manager, and a president of football. I want to be clear, it's not a president of football operations, it's a president of football. So anything that's a football and grass is going to be responsible to this person that we'll be hiring. And both the head coach and general manager report directly to that person.
Could you maybe clarify the difference between football and football operations? Yeah. Because that sounds similar to me.
Yeah, well, it's similar, but sometimes people think of operations as, well, it's, you know, it's the administrative stuff, it's the backroom stuff, it's what have you. This is everything that impacts football, which is, you know, everything a GM does, everything a head coach does, and everything that the organization does to support the team, which is a lot of things. Includes training, includes medical, includes facilities, includes a variety of other things. So it's giving that one person the responsibility, the final responsibility on how our team is going to be visioned, how it's going to operate, who's going to be held accountable, and holding them accountable for the kind of performance that Atlanta should expect from us.
In the letter that you sent out to fans Monday morning, you took some time to address Rich McKay's role with the Falcons and the football side going forward. I'm wondering maybe if you could elaborate on that and what input, if any, in Rich's role overseeing AMBSE as CEO, what input, if any, will he have in football decisions going forward?
Well, the answer is he will not have any. Just to get to the bottom line, but the reality is that Rich has had a long, successful career with us on the football side and on a variety of other things. We moved him off the football. He was involved in building our stadium. He's been involved with soccer. He's involved with a variety of, you know, the World Cup coming to Atlanta, Super Bowl coming to Atlanta. He chairs the Metro Atlanta Chamber this coming year, which I did that for 1 year in 2002. And I can tell you that by itself is a full-time job. It's breakfast, lunch, dinners every night and series of meetings, and it represents Atlanta in the business community and politically. So he's got a very full plate. So he will not be involved in football going forward.
Has anything changed with your personal day-to-day oversight of the team? Are you at a stage right now where maybe you would like to change some of your day-to-day role? And has everything that's happened recently maybe delayed or amended those plans?
Well, I've never really had a day-to-day role. I mean, I'll continue to do the same things I've done before, which is be aware of what the team is doing, understand the vision, understand the strategy. I have an opportunity, if I can be supportive to the head coach, general manager, now the new president of football, I'll be there for that, not only resources-wise, but giving them any bit of advice or wisdom that I have based on 25 years of experience and in business beyond that, but in football. I expect to be fully supportive and take my cues from the president of football.
Your fans have been very patient, and And it's been 8 years since the Falcons have made the playoffs. You're now bringing in a new president of football, a new general manager, a new coach. How much more patient do you think fans need to expect to be?
Well, if I was fans, I wouldn't be very patient at all. I mean, I can tell you that sitting here talking to you, Mike, I'm not. I'm not patient, and that's, you know, one of my virtues, or you could argue it's too much of a virtue or not a virtue, but I tend to be an impatient person, and I'm pretty demanding that way, and I think our fans should expect us to move forward this year. We have the players, in my opinion. It's one of the reasons, in my view, this was frustrating as it was this year, is that I felt we could have achieved at a higher level with the players that we do have on our roster. And we look forward to building even a stronger roster going forward, and we'll hire the best head coach, the best general manager, and the best president of football that we can find.
The NFL is a very difficult league. Everyone's trying to win. Do you personally, though, have any regrets about any of the decisions that you made in the previous few years about who you put in place to be general manager, coach, or anywhere else in the organization?
Well, it's a very hard league, and it's designed that way for parity. You know, 50% of the games are decided by 7 points or less, 25% by 3 points or less, and you've got professional players and coaches on the other side as well. So it's one of the reasons come July and August, every person in America believes their team has a chance to go to the Super Bowl and compete in playoffs, et cetera, which is great for the league. But, you know, I think you make decisions at the time. It's easy to go back and look and, you know, with hindsight and put glasses on 2020, you get clarity and say, well, we should have done this, we should have done that. Obviously, we made some mistakes certainly with, you know, this last round with Raheem and Terry, but they did a lot of good work for us as well, and that needs to be acknowledged, et cetera. And I think it's a credit to Raheem particularly, I would say, that during his last four games, that players continue to fight, play hard, fought. You know, I've been in situations where players kind of, you know, virtually they mail it in, not mail it in literally, but they're not as competitive. They're tapping themselves out of games. They're getting injured unnecessarily. They think they're injured. But, you know, we didn't have any of that. These guys fought like crazy and won the last four games, you know, and, you know, I give the players credit for that, but I give the coaching staff credit for that as well, the entire coaching staff. And I give Terry credit for that, to have the right players in the building that were able to commit that way.
Atlanta United, you're putting a tremendous amount of your personal resources into the team, the most expensive incoming player transfer before last season, and the team ended up finishing 29th out of 30 teams. What, from your perspective, went wrong?
Well, I mean, the most obvious one is that we didn't pick the right coach. I would say that, and I don't mean that in a mean way or whatever, but there wasn't a match between the players and the coach and the style of play, you know, all the things that, you know, that we all see. I think we've brought back a coach who we know relates well to players. He's had a great history in Atlanta, had a great history beyond Atlanta, in Mexico and in Miami, and so... and we'll continue to churn the roster and work on it. And as our fans know, we're also interviewing for a president of soccer. And that'll be somebody at a very high level that'll oversee both Atlanta United and our new team, NWSL. That's not the name of the team. That's the name of the league. We don't have a name yet for the team.
I know you are going to be extremely busy over the next couple days and weeks. I think the listeners of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game really appreciate your opportunity to take the time and speak to them directly. So thank you very much.
Well, you know, I thank 92.9, and I thank our fans in both of the sports for their ongoing support and trust and confidence that we will produce for them, and I'm quite sure we will. So appreciation for them, and everybody have a great new year, and not only personally, but, you know, professionally in the world of sports.
Well, and that was Mike Conte sitting down with Arthur Blank one-on-one yesterday. What were your highlights from the presser yesterday? You guys were in the room with Arthur as he addressed everyone.
Yeah, I thought my highlight was where, because you guys know that I've been screaming this from the mountaintops for the last couple of months, and I'm like, there's just such a disconnect between what we should be trying to accomplish with our personnel and what we're actually doing on the field. So at one point in the press conference, when Arthur Blank brought up that there was not a clear vision for the team, you know, that was one of the things that they had really reflected on over the last month or two, and, you know, brought in the outside firms, and he was like, you know, it was just, it was kind of alarming to me that there was not a vision for the team. I think he said that more or less words, and I was like, praise the Lord. Like, I mean, I'm glad that that was, you know, part of the conversation, because I've felt that way for forever. Even when we, going back to a couple of weeks ago, when the thought popped up about Matt Ryan, and I've been using the term linear vision, like somebody has to align from the top down what this team is trying to get accomplished. So I just felt very excited slash validated slash, you know, let's turn the page and get it moving in the right direction after he said that.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's what they came away with, the firm. Mm-hmm.
Sportology, yeah.
Yeah, and they interviewed, like, I think 30, they say he said 30 people.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, too, at the same time. It's very disappointing as someone that is closely around that. And I tell you one thing, I guess I can say it now because it seems to be what Sportsology, or whatever the hell the firm was, is found. But it felt to me recently that there was too many people that had say in football things. And that's just from just hearing things from, you know, we all have people that we know. Like, I mean, some of us that get around it, you know, we have people that we know in this business. I mean, I'm sure Grant has people inside the Braves that are sources, and anybody that covers a team develops those. And I've developed a few over my time with the Falcons, and you hear things and you're like, well, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And there are times where you're like, man, it's amazing this team won 16 games over the last two seasons, or go to the 5 years and they won, you know, they were as competitive. So it's good. I'm glad it's a reset that we needed. It's a reset that we wanted. I'm happy for that. But I do think people take words that were said yesterday and they spin them into narratives that they want to believe. And I think it's ridiculous. And I know we're going to talk about it at 7 o'clock with some of it, especially like with Jeff Ulbrich. Apparently, you know, from what I've read on Twitter, I took away from what Arthur said about Jeff Ulbrich, Mike, completely different than a few others. I mean, I don't get it, but I really feel good about what that press conference was yesterday.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see the differing opinions based off of one press conference and how wide that scale, that spectrum was on it. So we will unpack a lot more. Like I asked yesterday, are we going to have more questions or less questions today? We've got more. So we'll unpack that at 7 o'clock. And coming up, we're going to talk about last night's game, that crazy fourth quarter. And we've got my Mac drop. We're just going to double check that we've all been listening to each other this week.
Oh,
that's
God.
All that's happening. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
6:43 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. We do have the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz tonight. Oregon and Indiana will face off in the semifinals at 7:30.
Let's go. Let's go. It's like Bo just talked about. He's on baby duty tonight because it's go
time.
Well,
possibly. I said that would be the best day for me. I'm good with it because I got a routine, and by 7:40, which the game will start, because, you know, they never start at 7:30. I always start like 15 minutes later. I'm in. Like, I just have her down, and let's watch the game. So I got to give Miami flowers because apparently I've been accused multiple times this week of not giving people their flowers, which I think, you know, is whatever. It's okay for some people to say it. One of our listeners texted me yesterday and said I didn't give Trey enough flowers yesterday. And I was like, well, I meant to. I was just trying to be honest about it all. But Miami has won 3 football games in the college football playoff, and they've done it every way. They've done it with defense completely. They've done it with a grinded out, some offense. Just enough offense, just enough defense. And last night, I felt like they did it with offense. That's kudos to the team that they've bought down there, which they all buy now. Sanadoc, that they've coached up. The OC and the DC for Miami are pretty good. All right, Dawson and the guy that looks like he should really be a strength and conditioning coach that coaches the defense.
I have one question for you before we move on. Would you be okay if Carson Beck was the Falcons' starting quarterback in Week 1 next year?
No. Well, no. I would like Michael Penix or a veteran to be.
Well, I mean, I'm just assuming that Michael Penix won't be ready for
Week 1. I'd rather Ty Simpson be if I was going to pick.
I agree. I don't think their draft status is going to be the same. I'm looking at a guy that's going to be in a middle round. We don't have a first-round pick. I think Ty's going to be a first-round.
Here's the deal for me. I think Carson Beck is elite as far as his arm strength, his size, his mobility. It's amazing he doesn't get talked about as good as he is with the football in his hands, running. But at times, his decision-making is just ridiculously bad for a guy that's in his seventh year of college football.
Do you agree?
And that is what kills me about Carson Beck. I don't trust him with the football. In fact, I was telling you, I was texting my neighbor during the game. It kind of helped him stay awake. And when they got the ball, 27-24, he goes, "Oh, here we go." And I said, "Well, this is the moment that Carson Beck normally makes a brutally bad decision. The last two seasons, let's see what he does." And you know what? He balled. Give him credit. Got to give him his flowers, Allie.
Speaking of that game, yes, Miami did knock out Ole Miss from the college football playoffs. They won in the Fiesta Bowl 31-27. Miami will head to the national championship game for the first time in 24 years. Did you expect this game to go that way last night?
Yes and no. I mean, I think Trinidad Chambliss did a lot of the things that I expected him to do. I knew that Miami's defense was very, very good, and I knew that, you know, it was going to be very difficult. I just thought that when it started going through from start to finish, I thought, okay, Miami's going to throw the knockout blow at some point.
Yeah.
But give Shambles and that offense credit. I mean, even down to the last second, they were still in the game, even when it just didn't even think it was possible. It went about like I expected. I knew it would be a good matchup.
It was like a heavyweight fight. It had, and it was a fight where both fighters at one point in time seemed to impose some will, but it ended the way it did. Did you notice anything on the Kiwan? Is it Kiwan, right?
Kiwan Lacy.
Kiwan Lacy touchdown run.
Did I notice anything?
Yeah, was there anything that stood out to you?
Not per se.
He retweaked his hamstring on that play.
Yeah.
At about the 10-yard line, maybe 15, he starts to slow. It looks like maybe that's when your hamstring.
Yeah.
And he turns behind him, and the Miami guy's closing.
Right there.
He goes, "Uh-oh." Yeah. And he gives it that last. I was like, man, that was – this is like those little things that sometimes you catch, and you're like, man, that was kind of cool, because he's like, I got to give it this last-ditch effort to get in this end zone. I'm in a good mood this morning, not because Miami won, because I would actually kind of wanted Ole Miss to win. I'm in a good mood because it was a really good game, and I really enjoy great college football games. If tonight's game is half as good as that one, the semifinals have lived up to the hype.
Yeah, I agree.
When Washington QB Damon Williams Jr. is returning to the Huskies days after saying he would be entering the transfer portal.
His agent dropped him. He was on the hook for the new schools had to pay $4 million, and then there was going to be some kind of sanctions against them, Mike.
I didn't read that part. That's crazy.
Yeah, I had to read what the actual sanctions were going to be, but it sounded like he lost all leverage.
Yeah, they were just like, essentially, you're going to lose this court battle, and I just can't imagine what the conversation's like between him and his teammates when he walks back in the locker room. That was the first thing that my brain went to. It's like, hey, yeah, I know I was going to bail. That's on me. Sorry about that. You know, and I'm sure it's going to be a little bit different. He'll probably be emotional about it. Probably be, man, I was trying to do what's best for my family, this, that, and the other. And I'm sure that's true, but that's going to be a tough conversation for a little bit.
It was some kind of money issue where there was going to be like some money that the – of that the new team would have to like basically get hit with.
Sure, yeah, like a buyout.
Yeah, so on top of the $4 million that. So, anyways, I think it's somebody tweeted this. I want to get your take real quick before we get to the Mac drop. Somebody said, well, that's great. Now he's got to earn back the trust of his coaches, his teammates. What do you think about that?
I think it's, like I was just saying, I think it's going to be tough when you walk back in that locker room for the first time and you're like, what's the reasoning? You know, I think that's the biggest explanation is you're gonna say, I'm trying to do the best thing for my family.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get emotional. But I don't think it's repaired overnight. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting. And each Wednesday night, you can join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation. It's a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. All right, guys. It's been a long week of lots of news.
Craziness.
Lots of headlines. We've been putting out information left and right. So I just want to double check that we're all paying attention to everything that each of us are saying.
This is terrifying, but okay.
So I've got clips of us. One word will be bleeped out, and you have to guess what that word is.
Oh
now, if
gosh.
You are said speaker, you don't need to guess because okay. You probably remember what you said.
All right.
All right, Dylan, let's start with, since Mike's the most nervous, let's start with Mike number one over there.
Who's to say that somebody involved in this organization doesn't somewhere else down the road?
Bo, like, any ideas?
Work somewhere else down the road?
Dylan, do you have any ideas?
No, not a clue.
Okay, let's play it.
Who's to say that somebody involved in this organization doesn't land somewhere else down the road?
Mm. There you go. There land. You go.
Never going to guess land.
Same gist, I think.
Let's go with Bo number one.
I will say, man, the are the biggest pain in the butt. Let me tell you something. This game, hold on real quick. I know you're going to replay it, but this game is not fair to me because the way I speak, everything I say sounds messed up.
Play it one more time.
I will say, man, the b****s are the biggest pain in the butt.
Any clue?
Oh.
It was a conversation from yesterday.
I don't know. I have no thought.
I got nothing.
Go ahead and play the full one.
I will say, man, the boats are the biggest pain in the butt.
Mm. Boats, that's
boats.
Right.
Boats.
Yeah.
All
dang,
right.
That's a good one.
I'm not immune to this either. We've got some of me.
Go ahead.
So go ahead and play Allie number one. Which two NFL coaches have f***ed each other the most?
I know. That sounds crazy, but I know.
I know too. It's you want to say you got faced.
Faced. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like that maybe they there was a love connection.
Which two NFL coaches have faced each other the
there you
most?
Go. Nice work.
All right, let's go with Dylan number one.
Why can't I put at the right one?
What?
I'm sorry, what?
I gotta replay that myself.
I know it. Go ahead, play it again.
Though. Why can't I put at the right one?
Why can't I show up at the right one?
I was gonna say pull up. Yeah.
Why can't I pop up at the right one?
Pop up.
Yeah. Kind of combination of the two.
Yeah. Dang, good call.
Let's go with Mike number two.
It does feel a little bit good that Alex Saar is now with Trae Young.
Paired with Trae Young, but it sounded like you might have said something else.
It does feel a little bit good that Alex Saar is now playing with Trae Young.
Playing, same thing.
Yeah, good call.
Bo number two?
Oh, hold on. Bo number two somehow got lost. Give
me
1 second.
The funny thing was, is Bo number one, I had no clue what I was talking about. I just want to put that out there. Like, you said, you can't say if you're on. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was talking about either.
Skip to Bo number three, then.
The whole franchise is...
Dylan's grinning back there.
I mean,
it's just these taking it. You can go so many different ways with these.
I don't know.
It seems like I did it on purpose.
It just honestly, what's crazy is it's bleeped out. But I feel like the way Bo talks, he could have said the whole franchise is blanked. Like I mean, that could have genuinely been the word he used.
Right.
I'm probably talking about Cleveland or something. So it's probably like a disaster. Oh,
I know what it is. The whole franchise is cursed.
Play
him
it.
Saying the Cleveland part, it made me remember.
That might be it.
The whole franchise is in flux. Flux.
Oh, dang
yeah,
it.
You remember that real
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I remember that real well. Yep, I was so spot on.
All right, play my second one. I can't say if I was something a year ago in Georgia, but maybe I was.
Filming. Allie Mack.
You're what in filming. Southern Georgia?
Filming, which is also pause worthy, but nonetheless, filming. What?
I can't say if I was filming something a year ago in Georgia, but maybe I was.
Dude, we used to have a host here. Speaking of filming, we had a host at this radio station, and Grant will remember him. That came up to us one day and was like, I hear that there are lots of adult films filmed in Atlanta in the hotels. Do you know anything about that? We're like, what?
No, actually, I don't.
Yeah. He's a big Miami fan, too.
Let's close it out with one more clip from Dylan.
Come on, fellas, it's Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it
he
is.
Doesn't just bite knees, he bites boneless wings.
He doesn't just bite knees, he bites boneless wings.
That's so good. So
Come
good.
Come on, fellas, it's Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it
he
is.
Doesn't just bite knees, he bites boneless wings.
Dang.
Yeah. All right,
I actually do remember you saying that. Because it was a good pull with Dan Campbell.
Nice work.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
All right, well, everyone has a pretty good memory then. Good job, guys.
Did you
guys.
Find bow number two?
No, I didn't see. I went back to the email. I think bow number two maybe got lost in the
It's
shuffle.
Probably Allie Mack error on that part. So
yeah, it's all good.
I'll find it and I'll play it for you, Bo. But coming up next, Bo and Mike did go to the presser yesterday with Arthur Blank. We'll let you hear some of it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.